Welcome to We Are Technologies User Friendly with host Bill Sickens, technology architect.
And this is User Friendly 2.0. I'm your host, Bill Sickens, and joining me today are my co-hosts, Jeremy and Gretchen.
Hello.
And our mysterious G.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Thank you.
Got a lot of stuff coming up today. We're going to be dealing with a couple of interviews. We've got FEMA coming on. We've got a Q&A section coming up. And in coming weeks, we're going to have a number of things. Next week, we are going to be at the Rose City Comic Con. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the close, what that is and what it's doing. It's our first time at that event. Are you guys looking forward to it?
I am. Yeah. I've never been to one.
Yeah, so that's true, Gary. This is going to be a first one for you.
First time for me, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be really cool. And this one, from what I hear from everybody, is supposed to be a really good event. They've got a lot of different things. I think that it's a high bar to meet with the Emerald City and what they did up there earlier in the year. But I'm looking forward to seeing what's actually out there and see what kind of things they offer. These are all a little bit different, and it's kind of fun because they're a little bit different companies that put them on and that type of thing. So your talent changes. We just did Silicon Valley. That one was a lot more science in some of the Comic-Con part of it. I think this one's going to be a little more of the Comic-Con. So it'll be interesting to see.
Cool. It'll be great to see what it is.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So as we come up to that, I'm going to ask you this question as I did for Silicon Valley. What are you going to cosplay as, or do you know yet?
I don't know. It might be Marvel comic book Princess Leia.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably be Han Solo again.
Okay.
I'm thinking of coming as a radio show host.
I don't know if you'd pull that off.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. You need the plaid jacket and the weird tie.
I already have one.
You
can
be Herb Tarlett.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. There you go. I like that. Yeah, so WKRP. Oh, I haven't thought about that in years. On that note, we're going to go to the news here in just a moment, but send us in your questions. One user friendly on Facebook, one user friendly on Twitter. The podcast is at theanswerportland.com. So if you miss the show, you can pick it up. And on to the news.
Apple releases credit card. Tell me about this.
Well, for all of our Apple people out here, Gary, you use Apple products.
I have an Apple. Yes.
Yeah, I have an Apple.
I have several Apples.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah.
I have a whole basket of Apples.
Now you can get an Apple credit card.
Do they have worms in them?
Do they what?
Do they have worms in them?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. We haven't quite figured that out yet. But here's the thing. It is more of a promotional product than it is a credit card. They say that there's no banks involved. There is, but that's the way they're promoting it. But here's the thing that really got me on this. The credit card is made out of a material that you keep polished. So it's like sleek kind of design, like an iPad or something of that nature. And there's actually a whole page on the Apple website of how to maintain your card properly. Things like you don't want to set it next to leather because it'll stain it.
Seriously?
This is crazy.
Basically, don't rub it on anything.
Yeah, don't rub it on anything.
Wave it in the air.
And of course, there's a product available now, actually a couple of them, that's a Apple card case. Uh-huh. They sell for about $30, and it's a special case that you can put the card in that you then put in your wallet.
Mm. It's a just-in-case case.
It's just a case. And it has some features like blocking the RFID and these type of things, but yeah, it's still $30 for that type of thing. And it reminds me a little bit of the new Apple computer where the stand's $1,000 an extra piece. Just, so this is more a status symbol. I'm also not quite sure what the carrier is yet, if they work with Apple Pay or if it's something else like that. That hasn't been terribly clear.
But this is an actual credit card.
An actual physical credit card, yeah.
So I can go to Starbucks and buy coffee with my credit card, or I could go to Best Buy and buy something there.
Right. And one has to ask the question, what if the person that you're working with at the cash register scratches your pretty Apple card? I mean, you know, it comes
something
down
gets
to
scratched, it doesn't work.
Well, it works, but it's scratched. It's an Apple product.
Do I have to pay for this card? I mean, do I have to actually buy the card beside the $30 case? Do I have to actually?
When you get approved for the card, you get one. Now, the question on that is actually if you needed a replacement. I tried to call in. I didn't get an immediate response to my request on that from their PR people.
Well, Apple doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
They don't. They have great customer service for a customer, but for media, they do not.
I've noticed that. Yeah. So we'll try to find out the answer to that question.
Firefox to block trackers by default.
Firefox, of course, is a browser.
Yes.
And I use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And in fact, next to Chrome, I believe it's the second most installed browser on the market. And this is actually a really nice feature because you're not going to have these tracking cookies and that type of thing.
Yeah.
The one subjective thing on here is third party. So what is a first party tracker? I mean, is it something approved by Chrome maybe or something of that nature? But one of the biggest things is tracking your what you do online, your progress online, that type of thing. And when it comes down to it, you want to be careful because you really don't want everybody knowing necessarily what you're doing. And there are things like incognito mode and all of that type of stuff. And there's sometimes legitimate uses for these type of technologies, like syncing favorites between a phone and a desktop computer, that type of a device. But that's only about 10% of the trackers that exist. The rest of them are things that you probably don't know about. You've probably heard of the idea of cookies. That's one version of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of warnings about cookies now.
Yeah, cookies are a big deal. But this is actually a step beyond that. It's not necessarily software that you even know is going on. It might be in something you installed. And like a lot of these things, works almost as a form of malware.
Now Firefox is now tracking that because this morning I opened up my browser and I was told that they'll check malware for me.
Yes.
And all this kind of stuff. So I opened it up and I've been hacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
By some Penguin game.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon. See, there you are. Yeah. You have an application that was installed from somewhere, which wasn't necessarily a Penguin game, but right. That's what they're calling it. And this is where you run into this type of a situation because you don't know it's there. And I think this is a great new feature to let people know what's actually going on with their browser. I hope the others follow suit.
New Android and iPhones are being announced. So tell me about this.
It is September, which seems to be announce the new phone month and spend another $1,200. That seems to go up every year, too. So we've got two things coming out. Number one, Android has decided to do away with the names of candy on their operating systems.
Aww.
I know. It's a bummer. It's a total bummer. But
so is it going to be pie or cake?
No, it's 10. It's Android 10. That's what they're calling it.
Too much sugar. Too much sugar. Yeah.
We've gotten to a point. I think everything seems to stop at 10.
So 1.0?
1.0. So we have OS 10 on the Mac, which has actually been upgraded 100 times since that came out. But it's still OS 10, just with other names. Windows 10 seems to be that. And now we're stopping the progression on Android at 10. So anyway, but the new version of the operating system is going to be available on the next Pixel phone, which is being released this week. And the new Pixel phone is actually really cool. From what I'm seeing of it, it is something that is worth the upgrade, unlike the last one. Everything also seems to work at its point of distribution, which is really nice, unlike the last one. So we're looking good on that end. And then the next iPhone 11 or OS 13, we haven't gotten those numbers in sync quite yet.
No.
Both of those are making a debut this month. And interesting features on the iPhone 11, jury's still out for me on whether it's worth the upgrade from a 10 or not. We've got some higher resolution on the camera, some things like that, but there aren't a lot of big earth-shattering new features. OS 13 will run on several of the older versions of iPhone, back to 8, I believe.
So I have 7.
Okay, so you're not going to see toast. It. Yeah. You might. You might still see a version of it.
You know what's really interesting about this is now iPhone 10 just became affordable.
Yes, exactly. As long as you don't mind being 1 year behind on the tech.
Yeah.
And it's, $1,200 for a phone. Samsung's going at that price point. Apple starts at $999 on their new phones. But if you want one with the leather, so to speak, you're going to shell out a couple hundred more bucks.
apparently, the ATM machine is turning 50.
Now, Gretchen, I know your dad loved ATMs, didn't he?
No. Banker family, he did not want anything to do with an ATM machine. Nothing.
Yep. I'm somewhere in between. I use them for cash machines. I will make deposits of checks sometimes with the new ones that scan them and give you a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
I still like using the teller, personal preference of mine, but it turns 50 this week. And a couple of different milestones in ATM development was the Star Network that came out in 1983. Mm-hmm. That was where you actually could use your ATM card from your bank at a different bank's ATM. So that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And now some of the newer features where it scans checks and makes deposits and all that kind of thing a little bit more securely. I don't know. It doesn't replace the human touch.
Facebook is making changes. Oh, D.
So this is actually, this is our last news topic. And I want to talk about this a little bit longer today because this is something that is being kind of quietly done, but it makes you wonder what's going on. For the last decade, when you've logged on to Facebook, there's always been the tagline, it's free and always will be.
Mm-hmm.
It was right under the username and password right before you would sign up for an account.
Okay.
That went away about 2 weeks ago with no announcement at all, and it now just says quick and easy.
So have we started a new conspiracy theory?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Facebook started it by changing that logo and not telling anybody. But the question becomes, where are they going with this? The terms of use still show it as free. But what is it? So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more on future weeks. You know, it's interesting to look at the news and kind of see some of these different things and what you do need to actually be concerned about. I know that things like you're doing an online test, be aware of where your information goes because that actually is quite important. So today on the show, We've got a couple of different interviews. We're going to be doing a Q&A. We also have a representative from FEMA that's going to be talking about some things to take into consideration during the back-to-school time. Get your back-to-school stuff, but maybe also think about your preparedness for disasters. We're going to talk about what that is and what that involves and all of that type of thing here coming up on the show. Send us your questions at One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. Give us a phone call, 503-766-6264. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to User Friendly 2.0. Got a great interview. Gee, well, who do you have for us today?
I have Terry Rakup, who is actually a very close friend, been a very close friend for a long time. He has a business called All Out Freedom Custom ATV Conversions. That's the name of the company. And Terry's a quadriplegic and has always loved the outdoors and doing crazy things like ATVs, and he has invented a way to be able to get a quadriplegic and a paraplegic into an all-terrain vehicle and let them go have some fun. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So tell me about your how this all came about.
Well, I looked at him and I thought, my God, that would be so much fun, and I wish there was some way I could do it, and I thought about it and thought about it, and I thought, why couldn't the driving controls I use in my van and a lifting mechanism that I kind of stole from the steel industry, the idea, put me in this thing and hook up the hand controls the same way you would in a car. And so we just decided to give it a try, and it works.
Now, I've ridden with you in your ATV. And I remember asking you to stop and pull over so I could get out, because you're pretty crazy. But tell people, like, for example, like, you do drive. So to get into your to your vehicle, you just have a ramp for your wheelchair. But
to get
into your boat, didn't you have to get into bed? You also use a little bit of a crane to get you into bed and a crane to get you into the boat, I believe, as I recall. So yeah, this is the principle. This is the principle you've used to design this vehicle. So the first question I would have, if I'm buying this product, is it safe? I mean,
it is as safe as anything along these lines can be. I mean, there are always risks. We because I don't have any trunk control, I have to use a 4-point harness. So, you know, I'm as safe as anybody else riding one would be, possibly safer because of the harness. But
how about,
you know,
how about
the possibility if you're going 65 miles an hour and you run into a tree, not going to be a good thing.
Ouch.
Yeah. But how about getting into the vehicle? How safe is that? That's, you know, I watched you being loaded. You're suspended in space for a while.
Yeah, you are. Well, you're hanging in a internet from a crane, but the crane is the lift is reinforced at the top with a bearing, so it's virtually impossible for any of that to fail. The strap that the crane uses, we replaced the thing was designed originally to load a electric wheelchair weighing 300 pounds into the back of a pickup. We replaced the strap that they used on that originally with a tie-down strap that is like 5 times the strength of the original. It's much thicker and you know, it's...
So, in other words, it's very, very safe.
Yes, it is.
It can hold a lot of weight. So what does this mean to somebody who is a quadriplegic or a paraplegic? What does this mean to them as far as?
For me, it's freedom. Just something else that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. I rode with you. It was, I mean, those things go pretty fast. So we're whipping along. And honest to goodness, I really did consider asking you to pull over and let me out. You are crazy with that thing.
So did you take him out to the dunes that are east of Fallon?
I did. Yes. We got to play in the sand a little bit. I kept all four tires on the ground most of the time.
Yeah. So, but this is a really wonderful thing for somebody who's been kind of stuck, because you were stuck for a long time with basically it's, you know, watching other people have that kind of fun. And now you can have that kind of fun yourself.
Yeah, and you know, for people who love the outdoors, hunters and stuff, especially military personnel that were very active and they're like it opens the door up for hunting and so forth. And we have rifle racks and a variety of things.
But also for fishing, or if the family goes out on an outing, you can go as well instead of having to sit
down. That's the thing. That's a friend of mine was telling me about his, and he said, you know, so much fun, get the wife and the kids and throw an ice chest in the back and just take off. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like fun. I wish I could do that somehow.
And now you can.
So if other folks want to have that same freedom that you've developed for yourself, how do others obtain this?
Well, we build them. You've come up with a vehicle, and we will come up with the adaptive equipment to suit whatever needs you have.
So it just depends on the whatever ATV you
level of injury, for you know an amputee, for instance, wouldn't need to lift more than likely. They're able to transfer in, but you know, and so they just need the hand controls or whatever. And you still might want the lift because it'll pick up your wheelchair and load it in the back, and so you have it with you.
So what's the name of your website? You have a website and a phone number. Can you give us those?
So the name of the website is alloutcustomatv.com. And our phone number is 775-217-9810.
Thank you.
Terry, thank you so much. And we'll go ahead and put that information out on our social media. So if you missed it, we'll have it there. Or check out the podcast at theanswerportland.com and play it back again. And if you have any questions for Terry, please feel free to send them in. One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be back after the break.
Have you seen him? He's from the future. He's got a really big computer. And he uses it every day. And he uses it in every way. What's he use it for? You know, I'm not that sure because it uses future technology.
Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. We're about to get into your questions. We haven't done this for a few weeks, and we've got a number of questions that have come in, some really good ones. Send them to us, One User Friendly on Facebook, One User Friendly on Twitter, or if you prefer, give us a call, 503-766-6264. All right, what's our first question?
Our first question is what if I save something to the cloud? Where is it? Is it a physical place?
I like the t-shirt where I've seen this. There's actually two of them. The cloud is no silver lining. And then the other one is your cloud is just somebody else's computer.
Is this a cloudy? Yeah, you're going to cloud this issue up.
We're going to make this really cloudy. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Har, har, har. Now, what it is a cloud refers to storing anything as a generic term online. And it is basically on someone else's computer, someone else's server, that type of a situation. Usually, though, it's what's called a distributed network situation. And what that means is when you save something, it has automatic backups. So it's actually going to a couple of different locations. Now, to use an example of a system like what Amazon or Google or Microsoft offers, they have data centers that are in different locations. So when you save something to the cloud, what you're actually doing is saving to a number of different locations. The idea being that if you have a catastrophic failure at one, you have an automatic backup of your data at another.
So what you're telling me is it's very safe.
It is. It is actually very safe. Now, anything online is prone to hacking. There's a little bit more of that kind of a thing. So there are some privacy concerns.
Yeah, I would think so.
Things like that we're dealing with cloud computing. But it's faster, it's distributed, so you can get more bang for your buck, and you have automatic redundancy and backups.
Okay, so our next one is, what is stalkerware?
This is a term that has started to come up a little bit more in the news lately, and I think that's where this question came from.
Well, it sounds really creepy.
It does. There's two sides to this. There's legitimate stalkerware, if that even makes sense, and then there's the kind of bad stuff that's a malware version of it, if you will.
Okay, explain the difference.
Stalkerware, a generic term of that, would be an app you put in to trace somebody's cell phone. So if you have that for your kids, or you want to see where they are and you have the app on their phone, that would be a form of stalkerware, but that's a legitimate use of it.
So that's like a parent hovering.
That's like a parent hovering, okay. That kind of a thing. What's happening here is that they are starting to have this as malware. And what ends up happening with that type of a situation, you get it installed to your device and you don't know about it, and then someone can track your location. Now, some call the Google Maps and some of these type of things that same bit, but again, it's something you set up and it's something you're able to go in, configure, and delete if you want to. So the malware version of it is things that you don't know about.
So I would install this malware accidentally?
Yeah, you would go to a website that's infected that somehow installs to your phone, or maybe download an app that you're not sure of and it's part of it. You can get malware attached to applications just like software on a Windows computer would work. These type of things are definitely a concern. Some of the things to look for is if all of a sudden your data usage spikes or your battery consumption goes way up and you don't have as much battery, there's probably something going on. These type of situations are key things to look for to see if there's a problem. And unfortunately, the fix for the malware problem, from everything that I've been seeing coming from Google and the official sites, is to reset the phone, which is not the easiest thing to do because you have to reinstall everything from scratch. But it is something to be concerned about, especially if you have kids. But honestly, even I don't want to have someone seeing where I am that I don't know about.
Next question is, are Starbucks games safe?
I didn't even know Starbucks had games.
I didn't either.
The question of what are Starbucks games? Yeah, you know, Starbucks puts these out seasonally. Right now, there's a summer game that's coming to a conclusion, I believe, probably today.
So is this the coffee place?
This is the coffee place. And what they are is part of your Starbucks rewards program, where you can go on and play these little games they put together and get free coffees and points and win things and all that kind of stuff. You usually get a few free plays. And then after that, you buy, and when you use your card, you get more plays. That's kind of how they work. They have one for the holidays, they have one for now, and so on. As far as I know, they are safe. I've played them. I've never had a problem with them. They're kind of a fun little thing. It's just a promotional deal. They do attach to your Starbucks card account to be able to send the points over when you get done. Never had a problem.
Okay. Are online mental health tests safe?
This has come out in the news because of what's been going on in Europe, that a lot of providers of online mental health tests have been selling the results to advertisers.
What?
So generally speaking, They're safe unless you run into a situation like that. I would say check out the ratings and all of that type of thing. And before you take one, just make sure that there aren't a lot of complaints and that type of things out there for it. And go ahead, and if you feel comfortable with it, deal with the results, but just know where your data is going. And also in the European Union right now, do be careful, because that seems to be where this is going. This is User Friendly 2.0. Keep sending us your questions. That's how we do our programming. That's how we get our topics. One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. And if you miss a show, check out the podcast, theanswerportland.com. User Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Check us out online. We have a podcast every week after we air at theanswerportland.com. Send us your questions, one User Friendly on Facebook, one User Friendly on Twitter, or give us a call, 503-766-6264. Today we have David Yost, who's the Public Affairs Specialist for FEMA Region 10. David, did I do that correctly?
You did.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. I wasn't sure that was going to come off. You're joining us today to talk about emergency preparedness and back to school.
Well, and just for our listeners, FEMA means Federal Emergency Management Agency. So you do emergency management, correct, David?
I do.
So hey, how does school tie, kids going back to school, tie to FEMA?
Well, So, you know, to start, September is National Preparedness Month for us. So we like to go out and kind of like talk about a few national preparedness ideas, really preparedness ideas that people can take on, like on their own, to be better prepared for any disaster that might come up. And this time of year is great if you're out going like back to school shopping before you can kind of rethink like types of things you might put into like a disaster preparedness kit. So one of the things we kind of recommend is, if at all possible, to be as prepared, like future looking. Like, you know, if you compare for like being on the road for like a day if something happens, if it can be 2 days, 3 days, if you can do 2 weeks, the longer, the better. So yeah, if you're out doing school shopping, then it might be a good time to refresh your kit.
Now, I have a question for you. You're part of Region 10, and I don't know where that is, and would that affect the items that you would select?
Sometimes. And yeah, it's a good idea to kind of think regionally at what the local like threats or hazards might be that your home would face. So Region 10 covers Alaska, Washington State, Idaho, and Oregon. Being so close to the Pacific, we have some concerns that with like, you know, potential like tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes. There's a lot of like larger disasters that we are definitely focused on. But also, when you think about preparedness, you know, keep in mind that you might lose power for like a day or two during like winter storms. We deal with a bunch of winter storms that affect like smaller communities. So something you might put in your kit or you might check for your kit is like fresh batteries, a flashlight, radio, like wind-up radios, things like that. So yeah, if you're without power for like a day or two, a little bit of spare food. If you're out of power or, you know, things that you normally use in the course of your day for like a day or two, having those things like on hand will make your life a little bit easier for you.
So what kind of food should I put? I mean, because food's a big part of that. Water, obviously, but what kind of food?
Yeah, so anything like shelf stable. So you won't want to like, you know, chuck a bunch of fresh fruit and like cheese in your disaster kit. I mean, I'm a huge fan of it, but I wouldn't recommend that if you stash that like in a closet or wherever it's going to be, wherever you're going to keep your kit. Things like peanut butter is a great one, crackers, granola, things that aren't going to expire like immediately, at least a few months, all the way up to maybe a couple of years will help. Canned goods, canned tuna is a great one to keep in your kit. Also keep in mind that if you have pets, a little small amount of food like for them or some other like items that might help the transition for them easier would also be a good idea.
Okay, so outside of a food supply like what you just talked about, you see for sale online in these different places these emergency food kits, which are generally a bunch of bags of powdered stuff, and they're good for like 3 years. Do you recommend those, or are they something that's a bit of an overkill?
I wouldn't say it's an overkill. You know, it's based on what you can afford, what you're comfortable with. I mean, you're responsible for your kit. So the things that you identify that you will need, that your family will need to be better prepared is what you should go with.
So generators, power. So I earthquake, power's out. What kind of generator should I look? Should I buy one? Should I?
Well, there's nothing I'm going to endorse if you have the means to. Determine what works for you, what's safe, what will be effective. So it's not like a pure need by itself, I would say. But again, if you feel that works for your household, then take a look at it.
So what about working together, working with neighbors, planning things with neighbors? I live in a fairly old neighborhood with, I know all my neighbors real well. Should we all network? Would that help?
You definitely should. Yes, absolutely. Any member of your community that is better prepared can obviously like help their neighbors as need be. You can fold in your neighbors to a communication plan if you're able to like meet through like maybe a social media network or even talk like face to face and kind of say, all right, well, these are the things that I'm going to do during disaster, during emergency. This is what I'll be doing. If you can even practice that or even build like a base sort of plan, that actually goes a long way. We love to see that, you know, neighborhoods, communities are talking to like one another, one another, to be better prepared.
You know, go ahead.
So I have a question. Do you have any programs where you go to the schools, like to the elementary schools, and present ideas to the children?
So not directly. We do some like community outreach, and we do provide like printed materials that help like families develop like communication plans, essentially. If you go to ready.gov, you can kind of like look around there a little bit. Specifically, ready.gov/kids is a great place to go to find some like educational tools that can help to prepare youth for a disaster. We are involved in some programs kind of at the higher level where we talk to other emergency managers that either are working in the school or working along with schools in order to make schools broadly more prepared.
So we've got about 20 seconds left. Do you recommend the online check-ins for things like Facebook where I've been in the earthquake or whatever, the disaster, and I'm okay? Or does that stuff even really work?
I would recommend it. Again, you know, this is something that what you identify works for you, you should use it. So there's nothing I would rule out. So try it out. If you can fold it into your communications plan, if you can make it a habit for your family, then I would say yes, use it and stick with it.
So, David, thank you very much. David Yost, Public Affairs Specialist for FEMA Region 10. And online to check out some more information, go to ready.gov, and we will have that on our social media at One User Friendly. We will be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. So we've been talking a little bit about next week's event, which is going to be the Rose City Comic Con, and it's something I'm looking forward to. We haven't been to that one yet, so it's kind of a new show, which is always a lot of fun. And you guys are driving up, and a lot of people are driving into the area. I know a lot of local people are going too, but what do you have to think about before you get in the car or jump on your plane to come into an event like this?
Actually, like if we fly on a plane, then I pick a costume that is smaller and easier to pack.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Less stuff. You have to prepare well in advance. Know what you're going to do. Make sure your shoes are comfortable. And then make sure your costume is prepared and ready. Like you've made all the repairs to it. You've got all the pieces to it. Make sure it's all in one spot.
And if you're flying, you don't want to have costume pieces that will upset the security people.
This is true. Gee.
And it would be really awful if you left a piece home.
And that's happened to us. I mean, and it is a problem because these costumes have to be complete. Or it looks cheesy. You don't pull it off if you're missing a piece. So that is definitely important. I keep a list of parts, which include things like makeup and all the other stuff that you need for this type of a thing. I mean, playing a Sith Lord, I know I can just pull that off with my personality, but it does help to have the right robes.
And the makeup.
Jesus. Having never been at one of these, do a lot of people do this?
Absolutely.
A lot of people come in. So it's, do you interact with each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. You interact in character, that is part of it, but not everybody's good at it. And I don't like to throw that out as the only thing because you have a lot of people that are like me, like introverts, that you might not be terribly comfortable doing a role, but you still want to do the cosplay, and that's totally fine.
And nobody has a problem with
it. Yeah. But the one thing to be prepared of is people will want to take pictures with you the entire time. It's great. It's a lot of fun to interact with the families, but that is a big part of what we do.
Well, I'm going to come as a radio personality.
Yeah, we decided less Nessman, yeah, I know.
Will,
but
will people be taking pictures of me?
Yes, they will be taking pictures of you. But you should be used to that just anyway, I would think. Yes, it's so unusual. Yeah. I mean, you know, no. What are you expecting to see since you haven't been to one before?
Well, I'm kind of interested in the celebrities that are going to be there. I'm just interested in some of the technology, movies. I'm very interested in movies, that kind of thing.
There'll be a lot of people with all the posters and cards and all the things that are from movies and probably some props.
Swag's a big deal.
And you really should have him look into the panels.
That's another thing too. Now, panels are another part of this. A lot of times they're included, not always. You want to check that out, but you actually go in and get a presentation or a class or something like that that's specific to a given topic. And those things are usually published on the Comic-Con's website. Definitely Rose City does that and most of the others. So what's
it just sounds like a fun time. I'm kind of excited to go. Like I said, I've never been to one.
That's the biggest thing. And then the other thing is just to remember things like food and cost and all that. Be prepared for it. And we'll talk about this a lot more next week when we bring you live from the floor interviews. This is User-Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User-Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2019 User-Friendly Media Group, Inc. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host and not necessarily User-Friendly Media Group, Inc. or the station. Music licensing by BMI. Hosting provided by WeAreTechnology.com. Podcast available at theanswerportland.com or userfriendlyshow.com.